You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, no time to waste this evening. It's Saturday night, August the 29th, broadcasting live, as always, from Memphis, Tennessee. And we're going to get right down to business tonight because it's a very busy show, as it always is, but perhaps busier than normal this evening. And we're toggling the lineup just a little bit. James Edwards, yours truly, and Keith Alexander in studio at the top of the first hour this evening. Joining us on the line, Scoop Stanton, punching in to work a little early tonight, and former veteran television newsman Sean Bergen. And I got a text early Wednesday morning from Scoop alerting me to a developing situation in Roanoke. And, of course, by now everybody knows what that situation was or is. And I thought that it would certainly be appropriate to have an insider's take on this incredible double murder. And Sean Bergen, having been in that situation many, many times, not being shot, of course, but doing those on-the-street live broadcasts like we saw, I thought that picking his brain on this topic would just be entirely appropriate. So without further ado, Sean, welcome back to the show, my friend. Break down for us in your own words what happened in Roanoke, Virginia, on Wednesday.
Well, it seems that a young reporting team was out doing what's typically known in the news business as a live shot out in the field that would consist of a reporter and a cameraman and a truck operator nearby who cables and takes the shot live on the air. Apparently what happened was one of their former co-workers decided to walk up, as many of us have seen in the national news over the last couple of days, walked up and opened fire on these two people, a young woman by the name of Parker and her cameraman, killing them both and then injuring the woman who was being interviewed. This guy apparently had a lengthy history of being a racial grievance monger. He had been fired from many jobs along the line, but of course he was a master at manipulating the EEOC code and bullying his bosses and his co-workers through a combination of, just political correctness and people feeling too cowed to confront a guy like that. So, he had been fired from the station apparently 2 years before. And, of course, he said in what we understand is that before he committed this heinous act, he faxed to ABC News a 23-page manifesto, describing maybe what his motives were. That manifesto has yet to be released, but as we've learned more and more about this man, we've come to realize that he was a crazy person and that he wanted to incite a race war. And he said that he was inspired by the events that we saw of the the shooting in that year, and that apparently was what set him over the edge. And this really isn't.
Those are the Charleston.
I think a lot of this rhetoric is driven by the news media, and of course this group called this fraudulent group, Black Lives Matter, that was born out of the Ferguson situation that we saw last year. This gunman, Vester Flanagan, who also went by the stage name of Bryce Williams, I believe, looks to be someone who was incited by this stuff, and eventually it ended in the death of two people. And then he took his own life.
Go quick, Keith, and then we're going to go to Scoop.
Okay, this is Keith Alexander, Sean. I have been keeping up with this. By the way, it was the Charleston shooting that he says somehow provoked him to buy a gun. He said he got a gun permit 2 days
Charleston,
after.
South Carolina. I'm sorry. You're right.
And then the other thing, just as predictably as night follows day, now we have in the Memphis Commercial Appeal an article that shows that the reporter's dad to fight for gun control. He could have reacted to this incident in numerous ways. He could say his daughter is a result is a victim of affirmative action. They kept trying to promote Vester Lee Flanagan through affirmative action, and he turned out to be a no-talent bum and had other problems and consequently couldn't make the cut. And, of course, he blames white racism for all of his troubles in life. Or it could have been spun as a incident of black-on-white violence. But being good liberals and being, you know, dog-trained, being, you know, psychologically conditioned, what they did was they are now using the occasion of their daughter's death to stump for gun control, of all things. In other words, the gun did it. Vester Lee Flanagan didn't do it. The gun did it.
That's right. And you will contrast that, of course, with what happened in South Carolina, where they attributed the killing of those people in that black church not to the gun, but to the fact that the individual was a racist. And in that case, what we needed to do was we needed to ban the Confederate flag. That was going to solve all our problems. Now, it's also worth noting that the father of this young reporter who was killed did say that he was going to stump for gun control, and then he qualified his remarks by saying, I'm probably going to have to go get a gun myself for self-protection, because when you think about this, you know, it angers people. Now, I mean, if that's not typical liberal hypocrisy, I don't know what is. The people who scream loudest for gun control are quite often the ones who are surrounded by armed guards. I would start with our own president, President Obama. He was challenged by Sheriff Clark from Milwaukee to disband his Secret Service. We also saw the same with New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg. He used to walk around with a security detail of between 6 and 10 armed detectives. Meanwhile, he did everything in his power to disarm New Yorkers. It was a big reason why I left the city, because I couldn't protect myself, and I knew how bad crime was going to go with this new mayor, Marxist Mayor de Blasio. So, I mean, the messages are so mixed and so duplicitous. And in one case, they blame the individual, like the dentist who murdered the lion over in Africa, right? I heard no mention of the man's high-powered rifle. It's all about the guy who killed the lion. Now, in this case, where the guy killed the Vester Flanagan, who kills the two young reporters, there's no focus on the fact that he was a racist thug himself. They want to put all the focus now on that case on the gun. I mean, it's just, it's enough to make your head spin. And what it,
it is,
it was the fact that their liberal agenda comes before everything else. It comes before common sense, for God's sake. I mean, it really is just so disturbing.
Well, it's Rahm Emanuel's comment that you never let a good crisis go to waste, and they're always going to find some way to advance the liberal agenda.
Excellent commentary, by the way, Sean. I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. Scoop, I want to go to you, and then we'll continue with you after the break. We may extend this into a third segment because we've got a lot to cover on this, and we want to get into another brief conversation about the open season on cops. I think Sean reported to me earlier today via text that 7 police officers have been murdered, or shot rather, in the last 10 days. That's incredible. But Scoop, to you, my friend.
Okay, Sean, we know that Vester Flanagan used to work at that CBS affiliate in Roanoke. We knew he had a manifesto where he said that ABC News headquarters in New York. We know that he got a gun because of the church shooting in Charleston. What else is the media not reporting about Vester Flanagan?
All right, that's the question. That's the question. We're going to let Sean answer it right after this break. So Sean, be mulling it over. We'll get his answer in 3 minutes.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades' worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, we have to move quickly here, but Scoop Stanton, Sean Bergen, and Keith Alexander, along with yours truly, James Edwards, in studio right now. And we're talking, of course, about the television news crew that was murdered on air. And a part of that which motivated these murders were the alleged racist comments that were supposedly made by the woman, Allison Parker. And, you know, of course, anything goes as far as racist comments. I mean, she could have made it be known that perhaps she voted for Mitt Romney in 2012. I mean, that would qualify. You know, everything's racist now. So this played a role in it. You have to hold a grudge for a long time to be dismissed from a job in 2013 and then commit a double murder in 2015. I mean, think about that. And then, of course, the young man who was murdered, Adam Ward, had worked with Vester Lee Flanagan, the shooter, once and went directly to human resources. He obviously had mental health issues and an anger management problem. And, you know, anyway, all of this plays in. But I want to go back to Scoop. Scoop, you asked a question before the break. Repose the question to Sean, and let's get to it.
Okay, Sean, once again, what's the one thing that the media has not mentioned about this shooter, Vester Lee Flanagan, that's the 800-pound grill in the room? We know that he's black. We know that he's a racist. We know the gun did it, not him. We know he videotaped it. But what's the one thing they refuse to mention?
That this man was really the product of our politically correct culture. He was a member of what I call the professionally offended. That means no matter what you say, he's gonna interpret it as a racist comment, a racist remark. And how this whole culture that we have of microaggression and white privilege that's now being taught on college campuses actually weaponizes guys like Flanagan. It takes an unstable person. And they feel that, or think that they are justified in their actions because the mainstream of the media is saying that, you know, your anger is justified. The slightest little offense means that, you know, you've been offended and you're a victim and you're a victim of racism. More importantly, you're a victim of white racism. And this gets into the head of a crazy person and, you know, it turns into their rationale for murder. And I really think that they're, you know, we need to start taking a hard look at this whole culture of political correctness and the professionally offended, and how we shelter people, especially in the college and the university settings, from being politically offended. I mean, it is such a and disturbing trend in our country, and I think that it is playing out not only in this case but also with this Black Lives Matter movement that I think is really behind a lot of the killings of law enforcement that we're seeing around the country.
Sean, this is Keith Alexander. Just to put an exclamation point on what you said, I have read that one of the things that he pointed to in one of his EEOC complaints to prove that he was a victim of white racism was that they would send him into the field to do work. And he thought that that was some veiled reference to the cotton field, to pick cotton. Can you believe it? Is that, you know, you can't make this stuff up.
This is what happens to in the mind of a crazy person. They start to connect dots that most normal people would never even dream. When, you know, that's a common term in the news business. When you say you're out in the field, it means that you're not in the studio. You're out there in the world, in this place we call reality, reporting what's going on. You know, they also said, we'll swing by the live shot. And he said, that means you're making reference to the fact that I'm some type of a monkey swinging from a tree. I mean, you know, there's ridiculous levels that these guys have taken this political correct speech. And I really believe that a lot of it starts on college campuses and this politically correct culture that has gotten so out of control that most of clear-thinking America has rejected it in such a way that, I think it really explains in large part why Americans are embracing Donald Trump in the way that they are. Because
yes,
he just spits on political correctness every time he opens his mouth.
Well, we talked about this last week and really for off and on for the last month. You know, a lot's going to happen between now and the primaries, but if I could vote today, he'd get it. I want to ask you this, Sean, and then go back to Scoop, because you're the only person on our team of correspondents that can answer this. All right, so we've all seen the video, and it's a horrible video. It's a shocking video of the killings. But it's amazing to me that all three of the victims here either refused to acknowledge the presence of this man. Now, this is a guy who is a big guy. You watch the video. He's huffing and he's coming up and he's jingling his keys. And it's at 6:45 a.m. in the morning on a completely abandoned boardwalk. The only people there are the shooter and the three victims. And you know, is it possible? Now, you've been out and you've done these sort of reports many, many times in your career as a television news reporter. Is it possible that they didn't see him, that they were so wrapped up in the interview that he could get behind them, you know, literally inches behind them, pull the gun, hold the gun for a matter of seconds? And of course, they know him, too, and they had problems with him in the past. Is it possible that he could get that close and pull this off without them, even with their peripheral vision, see him? Is that your experience, Sean? I mean, what did you make of that as someone in this industry? That he could have gotten that close and held the weapon without them noticing.
Well, that's a very good point, and I'm glad you brought that up because, your situational awareness when you are engrossed in a live shot like that is minimized completely. You are almost in a state of tunnel vision. When you're live on TV, much like when we're live on the radio, you have to be completely and totally focused on what you do because the slightest little mistake is going to be picked up by the viewers, by the audience, and more importantly, by the audience back in the control room, where, you know, if you blow a live shot like that, believe me, you're going to hear about it. So the cameraman is at a severe disadvantage because he's looking through the lens of a camera, which is like looking through, it's like looking through a tube. It's like looking through a toilet paper roll. So he can't really focus on anything outside of that where that camera is pointed. The reporter is focused entirely on what the interview subject is saying because that's going to lead to your next question. So, yes, you are in a state of tremendous tunnel vision when you're in that state. Now, you're out on a boardwalk at 6:45 in the morning, and the last thing in the world you expect is for somebody to roll up behind you like that. Now, I can tell you, I've done many, many live shots from the streets of Newark, New Jersey, where I was constantly looking over my shoulder to be, aware of what was coming up behind me because, you know going into that, you're in a very dangerous situation. Quite often we're reporting from live shot locations, our presence is really not appreciated. And I've gone nose to nose with gangbanger types who've ordered me off the block in advance of a live shot. We've had situations like, you know, a guy came over one time just before I got to the station. He knocked over the camera. He was covered in blood. He chased the crew into the live truck. He trashed the inside of the live truck, covered it in blood, and it was later found out that that guy was HIV positive. So when you're in a situation like that, in a dangerous situation, you have more situational awareness. When you're on a boardwalk at 6:45 a.m., it was probably the last thing in the world that they were expecting. And at the same time, they're so focused on the endeavor and what they're doing that they can't, their situational awareness is just cut dramatically. So you,
very interesting.
You are very vulnerable when you're in that situation. I've heard of reporters getting clipped by cars doing live shots. It can be a dangerous and precarious situation. There's no doubt about it.
Well, you know, that's a question I certainly wanted to ask you because, you know, watching this as a pedestrian, I guess, or somebody not in the news industry, it seemed unfathomable to me that this could have occurred, that a guy could have gotten that close. But and when I knew you were going to be on the program tonight to address this particular issue, that was the first question I wanted to ask you. We're coming up on another break. If both you and Scoop can stay with us for one more segment, I'd like to flex this into the next segment. But, Scoop, do you have another question for Sean that he can mull over before the music starts?
The people killed were journalists. Now, if they were in a different line of work, would all the news networks be talking about this all day, every day?
All right, that's the question. We'll let Scoop ask it again when we come back. We'll get the answer. And Sean will answer, yes. And we're also going to talk with Sean and Scoop about the increasing number of police officers being shot in Obama's America. Stay tuned for that.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us. US.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We're keeping the incomparable Sean Bergen for one more segment, along with Scoop Stanton, who is also great, we might add. Keith and I in studio. Eddie's actually an hour and a half early, but he's here. He's sitting over there with his gin and tonic. The Bombardier. You got to do a little maintenance on the B-52. But all right. So anyway, Scoop brings up a great question before the break, and that is, you know, black on white murders are a dime a dozen in this country. They happen essentially every day. And Scoop, I'll let you repose the question, but I think what you're getting at is, if these two people had been convenience store clerks and were gunned down by a black fella and not a guy and not
disgruntled former employee,
which I think is unprecedented. On air in a live broadcast, being shot, killed, that's pretty incredible. But Scoop, repose the question, and let's let the industry insider answer it.
Okay, Sean, now these two journalists were shot and killed on live television, and all the networks, all the local news, all day, every day, talk about these two individuals. Now, if they were in a different line of work, say convenience store clerks, realtors, carpenters, would it still be as prevalent as it is today?
Are you talking about the coverage?
Right.
Yes, the coverage.
If they weren't journalists,
they'd be focusing on the victims like they are.
Yeah, right. There was a shocking element to this, in that it was caught on videotape when they were actually live on the air. I'm not sure we've ever seen that before, except maybe...
I don't think... Yeah, right. I was going to ask you that, in fact, Sean. I don't think we've seen that before either, and that certainly does make it... A little more. I'll be objective here. That does make it a little more newsworthy because of the unprecedented nature of the killings.
There's no doubt about it. But though, at the same time, there is does tend to be a double standard in the way that media treats their own, as opposed to the way they cover, say, a member of the law enforcement community getting gunned down. I mean, I was let go from my job under those kinds of circumstances. You know, after a cop was killed, I got into it with my assistant news director about whether or not we should air what amounted to hate speech directed at the police following the execution of a 23-year-old cop. And I was told, well, you know, it's just the cops. Don't worry about it. I think that in that situation, if I was in that situation, I was talking about a news crew that got murdered, I think that the standard would be much different. And I think that really goes to Scoop's question, that there seems to be a different standard that the media applies when talking about their own, as opposed to dealing with law enforcement community or anybody else for that matter. There is a bit of a double standard there.
Well, I'll say this. This is Keith again. I think that there is a specific program in place right now that is happening to get the police. They want black people to go after the police, and that's what the Black Lives Matter movement is really about. And consequently, you know, that's what they're expecting, what they're hoping for in the leftist.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you point that out, because the Harris County Sheriff addressed that situation exactly following the assassination of Deputy Sheriff Dolforth, because you know he did mention Black Lives Matter and say, you know, Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, cops' lives matter, and you can take that to the bank. So I think more and more people are finding the courage within themselves to point out just how destructive this movement has been. It was born from a lie, it was born from a myth, and it really just seems to be an excuse for members of the black community to target police officers. Now, it's also worth noting that just a few days before this Harris County deputy sheriff was assassinated, there was a radio program in Texas that called for the execution and assassination of police officers. This was reported by Breitbart, Texas. I'm not going to give out the name of the radio show, but it'd be very interesting to know, not that we'll ever know, whether or not this radio show and these radio hosts will be paid a visit by federal investigators.
Well, let me say this one thing, too, to follow up on what you said. I understand that the Democratic Party has now officially come out and said that Black Lives Matter is part of their plan.
Yeah, I'd like to follow Keith up on that with the source. This comes from MSNBC.com. The Democratic National Committee apparently had met in recent days. They have officially given support to the Black Lives Matter, and I'll call it a terrorist organization. If people with Ron Paul bumper stickers can be called terrorists, I think this is certainly much more applicable. But don't expect the mainstream media to mention the merger, since they're much more interested in the headline, Top Racist and Neo-Nazis Back Donald Trump. But yes, Sean, I mean, Keith is right. An official platform plank in the DNC's agenda is to support Black Lives Matter. This is incredible. I can't even find the words myself.
Democrats come down in favor of killing cops.
Sean.
They are, by extension, legitimizing the activities and the rhetoric put out by this Black Lives Matter crowd. And it is a hodgepodge of... it really is a hodgepodge of a group of degenerates, really. I mean, aside from the Black Lives Matter crowd, you've got people there from the Occupy Wall Street crowd. You've got cop-hating anarchists in there. By extension, you have the new Black Panther Party, and they've been very outspoken about, how they think, it's time to off the pigs and perpetuating or do whatever they can to put forward a race war or ignite a race war. So, but this is the Democrat Party. I mean, they are the party of racial grievance mongers, and this is the crowd that they cater to. And it really, it not only is the DNC, but it goes straight to the White House.
Yeah, that's a great point, Sean. It goes straight to the White House. I think the White House, the Obama administration, certainly the Justice Department,
has blood on its hands.
They do, and the media in general, frankly, it does as well. They sanction this. You have. Now, and we'll talk about this in the next segment with Keith, who is an attorney, get his take on this. A judge in Ferguson has rescinded all arrest warrants prior to 2015. This is absolutely incredible. And this, the Black Lives Matter movement, it's a loosely affiliated gang of thugs, basically. And as you said, Sean, they're basically looking for any reason to act out. And so this is their
The only
their
reason
call.
They have any legitimacy at all is because the mainstream media has sanctioned them and validated them.
But they have called on blacks, and we see this with a lot of the hashtags on Twitter. They have called on their fellow blacks to begin murdering cops and white people. This happened a couple of days in advance of the DNC giving them their official endorsement. Now, I want to say this in summation, then we're going to scoop a final question of Sean. This thing with Vester Lee Flanagan, a.k.a. Bryce Williams, and the double murder of the news crew in Virginia. So he gives out this manifesto saying he wants a race war, exactly the negative image of what Dylann Roof had said. But it's not getting, it's getting a lot of coverage because of the novelty of it being having occurred on live television. But this is certainly something that they're not focusing on. The full manifesto, they rushed to issue the full
manifesto. Unlike the Charleston Church shooting.
Right, of Dylann Roof. But not so much in this case. And I might add, another parallel is that they found the rainbow flag in Vester Lee Flanagan's apartment, but yet there have been no callings to hashtag take it down. And so by the standards set in Charleston, why should the Confederate flag come down but the rainbow flag stay up? Well, this is obviously the rainbow flag now has become, according to this precedent, it's a symbol of hate. So it should come down. We should dig up the bones of Harvey Milk. We should desecrate every grave of any known homosexual. That's what they did, in Charleston. But a completely different treatment here, even though the police reportedly confiscated a so-called gay pride flag from his apartment. But anyway, and we'll have more coverage of this.
The fact that these people have no standards. They have one standard for themselves, and then there's another standard for everybody else. They have no principles. Their principles are principles of convenience.
It's Herbert Marcuse's repressive tolerance to a T.
Scoop, of course, Sean, you're 100% right. There's nothing more to be said than you're 100% right. Double standards and hypocrisy never tripped up the left. Scoop, a final question to you, my friend.
All right, let's end this on a higher note. Sean, why don't you tell America and all our listeners some good news, some breaking news about the alleged killer of Deputy Sheriff Darren Goforth of the Harris County Sheriff's Office in Texas.
It's my understanding that just here in the last couple of hours, they've actually made an arrest in that case, a guy by the name of Shannon Miles, 31-year-old petty criminal who had a long history of small-time crimes, was arrested by the Harris County Sheriff's Department. His vehicle was spotted on surveillance tape at the gas station where the deputy was murdered. They traced that back to his home, and he is now in custody and being questioned, from what we're told. What's interesting is that prior to last night, his offenses were primarily small-time offenses, criminal trespass, destruction of property, resisting arrest, that warranted or gave, you know, ended up landing him in jail for maybe a week or two at most. This is a tremendous leap for a guy like this to make, to go from a small-time petty criminal to assassinating a law enforcement officer. And what really needs to be focused on is what drove this guy and what motivated this guy to this. And I have a
suspicion. I think certainly the media and the government has apparently sanctioned this. You know, when you have the Obama administration and the media coddling the Black Lives Matter thugs in Ferguson, it really sends an implicit message that, hey, this behavior is okay.
It's open season
on cops. Open season. 7 cops in 10 days, folks. Think about that. Sean and Scoop, thank you so much. God bless y'all. We love you. We'll be back right after this.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter extra large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I want to thank again Sean Bergen and Scoop Stanton. You know, Sean, what a pro, and how grateful and blessed we are to have him as part of our staff here, one of our teammates, one of the correspondents. He does such a great job. I mean, he is
just a vital link.
He is. Well, and we've gotten a lot of emails, actually, from people saying, We want Sean Bergen on the campaign trail. We want him going into these press conferences with the presidential candidates, asking them questions on behalf of Liberty News Radio and the political cesspool. That's right. And you know, of course, the answer to that is, boy, don't I also want that. Sure I do. If we had $25 in the bank, we'd do it. It's not quite that bad. Not much better.
We can't afford to send give him cab fare.
We've run out of gas taking him to the airport. But, no, look, I mean, it's not that bad, obviously, folks. But it's not. But we don't have the money. You know, I wish we did have, you know, if we had the budget that we deserve, quite frankly, you know, we would send him to these things and we would pay for him to go and be a correspondent for this network and this program at these press conferences. And we should have that kind of money because the product that we give is not every bit as good. It's better than anything the establishment offers, and it's truthful. But we tell the truth entirely too much.
And it's intelligent. We have a razor-sharp wit, quite frankly, about this, and we get right to the heart of matters. We don't pussyfoot around.
Well, Scoop. Keith, I got this for you. So we've got a couple of stories here. We'll start in Ferguson. You're an attorney. Tell me your opinion on this. A judge in Ferguson, Missouri, a judge has rescinded, completely wiped away clean, get out of jail free card for all you Monopoly fans out there, all arrest warrants issued before December 31st, 2014. And it says here in the article that because of the pressure that the protesters applied in Ferguson, this is an olive branch. This is what the media is saying. So this is a judge who, because of the thuggery, because of the riots, because of the vandalism and all of the lawlessness that these Black Lives Matter thugs applied in Ferguson, hey, don't worry about it, guys. I got your back. Do you think that this kind of action, Keith, is going to encourage more lawlessness, or do you think this is going to be the salve that we need to facilitate racial healing?
Well, obviously what it's going to do, it's going to encourage more people to do that. It's basically showing racial solidarity with the thugs that misbehaved and turned Ferguson into a ghost town, basically, turned it into an urban wasteland. Now, this is very similar to what the Black political leadership of Baltimore did when they were confronted with a similar situation after Ferguson.
They said so they need to be given the space to what?
Tear the place down.
Essentially.
And see, this doesn't work. It never works. We have a government of laws, not men, we thought. But now, when you get Black political leadership, like you have in Ferguson now, like you had in Baltimore, we have a government of men, not laws. In other words, it doesn't matter what you did. It matters who did it. That's the message that's coming across. I guarantee you, there's not going to be a similar dispensation for Dylann Roof or for any white person. It's basically
and not that there should be, obviously. I mean,
no,
I don't want
we're not. We're not trying to suggest there is, but see, that's so above the top. You know, nobody would even consider something like that. But that's exactly what is happening in today's new America, and the rule of law. Basically, as the white population shrinks, the rule of law is going to be more and more disregarded. I predict
because like black thugs tore up the city, other black thugs get their warrants basically wiped clean, and this is going to be the right action. This is not going to incur, you know, when you have a bratty child, a petulant child, you know, if you cave into their every whim and outburst,
never punish them, never upright,
right.
I mean, never call them to
what do you think happens
account.
To that kid? Does he turn out rotten or does he learn his lesson? Eddie, I know you've got something you want Keith
and I
to cover.
All right,
Keith, give him a hand.
Hello, everybody. So Eddie the Bombardier here. I'm going to make a statement. I want the guys here. I want James and Keith to talk about it. I'm going to throw this out here. Angela Davis is probably before a lot of y'all's time, but back in the 60s, a radical who was linked to cop killing. I think she did a little bit of time, but she now has a position at the University of California, Los Angeles. Linked to the weatherman, one big leader of the weatherman. I don't remember his name. He's in the cabinet, you know, one of the advisors with Obama right now. And that what links into all this lawlessness. These people just out and out criminals. You know. Now I want James and Keith to talk about that since this ain't my hour.
Yeah, we give everybody, you know, we believe in segregation of the host. Everybody get their hour. We don't like any.
Right. Well, Eddie makes an excellent point. There is a real disparity between so-called terrorists on the right and the left in the way they're treated. For example, Kathy Bowden's son, Chase Bowden, who was, you know, Kathy Bowden was one of the Symbionese Liberation Army people. She and her boyfriend or husband or shack buddy, basically, who created Chase Bowden, by the way, he was, you know, they killed a couple of Brinks guards in a robbery. They were involved in the explosion on Greenwich Village on Washington Square that killed about 10 people in a bomb factory, in SDS, Students for Democratic Society, Symbionese Liberation Army bomb factory back in the early 70s. She has her son, Chase, is a Rhodes Scholar, went to Harvard undergraduate and Yale for law school, has a bright future paved out for him. He's part of the Bowden family, a Jewish family. The father, the patriarch, Louis Bowden, was one of the founders of the National Lawyers Guild, which is a extreme left-wing, off-the-map leftist group, and then and a member of the Communist Party. Her brother was nominated and appointed by none other than George W. Bush to be a federal judge in the First Circuit Court of Appeals, the federal First Circuit Court of Appeals. These people lead charmed lives. Bill Ayers, who is also involved with Kathy Bowden, is the head of public education in the state of Illinois, despite the fact that he basically, you know, killed people. Did you think Bobby Frank Cherry's children or somebody that was involved with the Birmingham Street bombing, their children are, you know, being treated to scholarships to Yale and Harvard and Rhodes scholarships and things like this? Eddie's absolutely right. Angela Davis, who was a Black Pantherette, I guess, and she was, you know, kind of the female face of the Black Panthers, she's got a sinecure. She's got a tenured position at UCLA. She just rakes in the money. She probably doesn't even show up for class. What a crazy world we live in. What a double standard we have in America, in today's America.
All right, Keith, and thank you for the question, Eddie. Well, all right. He wants to ask you another question on the
interviewing Keith.
I would like to end the. I want to ask Keith one more thing before you ask that. Okay. Keith, and a yes or no answer will suffice, so we can move on to Eddie's question. Should this judge be impeached for that action? Is this an impeachable offense? And obviously we know it will only encourage more mob violence and thuggery. But is this impeachable?
Well, I don't even know if they can impeach those judges, but he certainly should be subjected to a recall election if he's an elected person, because this is basically an abdication of his role as a judge. He refuses to rule on warrants, and that's part of his job.
All right, quick question, Eddie, and I got to make a final segment. According to Trump, it's all Trump's second hour, so we got to finish this.
Well, I'm going to ask Keith this question. Well, it's kind of a rhetorical question. Well, Keith, if anybody could have been a Rhodes Scholar, Keith should have been, because I tell you what, the guy's brilliant. He really is. But he's, unfortunately, he's just an old poor South Memphis boy. Didn't have the pool, wasn't a communist, you know, hadn't killed any cops. Maybe if he had, he'd be in, you know, Harvard.
As long as I was
yeah, but you know, I was going to ask Keith, you know, in order to be an attorney, back in my day when we were little, when we were small, you know, doctors and lawyers looked at, you know, just utmost respect, you know, side by side. You had to know the law. So I was going to ask Keith, if you don't have to read the law, and Keith mentioned this a minute ago, we don't have rule of law now, we have rule of man. So if we're just going to have, you know, a rule of man, a man can come in and be a lawyer or a judge and rule exactly. He doesn't have to know. What does he have to know, Keith?
Well, that's exactly what's happened since the Brown versus Board of Education decision. That's where the basically constitutional law, if you go to law school today and you study constitutional law, you'll study everything except the actual document called the U.S. Constitution. You'll study cases that supposedly interpret that document. And the reason you don't study the document is because it is so obvious to anyone that the decisions that the Supreme Court is rendering based upon the Constitution are so nonsensical, so impossible to justify from the text of the Constitution, that you know, it would be absurd. For example, Bill O'Reilly was trying to excoriate Ann Coulter, I think, or someone else, about birthright citizenship, saying it was in the 14th Amendment. It's not in the 14th Amendment. It was in a footnote to a 1982 decision by that off-the-chart liberal William Brennan, who was on the U.S. Supreme Court. But somehow the general public and nincompoops like Bill O'Reilly think that it's in the 14th Amendment. Nobody studies the actual document.
Well, it'd be
anymore.
Interesting to know if they really believe that or if that's what they're told to say on the air. But, you know, either way, they're wrong. Final word on all of this, folks. And we talked about this briefly with Scoop last week. Just to give you an idea of what post-Ferguson policing looks like in Obama's America, a white cop, as we know, was beaten by a black felon in Birmingham, Alabama, a few days ago after hesitating to act for fear of being called a racist. This is what he said to the press. He was beaten unconscious by a career felon during a traffic stop. The press asked him why he didn't use force, and he said he didn't want to be pilloried in the media as a racist. So this is post-Ferguson policing, everybody. Thank you, Obama. Thank you, media. And we'll be back.
Thank you, Loretta Lynch. Thank you,
Judge. We'll be back with all news about Donald Trump after this. Got to go.
Holder. Eric Holder.